and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Amen. I want to share with you this morning the story of the parable of the talents. Now, I wasn't sure how this was going to fit in. I'd been given a theme before I came, and I already had this on my heart, and so been given permission by the Reverend McGruther here to go with what I was feeling. I see that it makes sense because your theme for the year is for the one. Have you? You're aware of that, for the one. Well, I'm here to equip the ones for the one. The ones for the one. I feel like this is a part of your journey for this year. So the parable of the talents. Start with, for the kingdom of heaven. Actually, might need a drink. Cheers. The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. So our Lord Jesus, after he was crucified on the cross, resurrected from the dead, ascended into heaven. He is now like a man who has traveled from a far country, seated at the right hand of the Father. People get very confused as to where Jesus is. Oh, isn't he everywhere? Oh, isn't he in our hearts? Yes, he is to both those things by the Holy Spirit. But the resurrected Christ, ascended Jesus, who to this day still bears the scars in his body, is seated in heaven at the right hand of the Father. And it says that the kingdom of heaven is like a man who traveled to a far country who called his own servants. Called his own servants. Give me a wave today if you've given your life to Jesus. You profess to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. This is talking about you. Because among other things, yes, we are children of God. We're friends of God, but we are also called to serve. We serve God by serving others. And so he called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. He delivered his goods. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and tell him you got the goods? Turn to the one you ignored the first time and tell them, you got the goods. So he delivered his goods. Who knows what it's like to receive a delivery? To receive a delivery. And that delivery is not actually, it hasn't started with you. It started with the one who delivered it. And so you have received something from God, a delivery. That's not about who you are. It's actually about whose you are. And he has delivered goods. And so today I want to raise awareness of the goods that we've already got. Not as much as about as receiving new goods, but you can always receive new goods. Don't get me wrong. But I believe if just that which is already present is activated and mobilized, I'm telling you what, you would not have room to contain the impact on people, to contain the ones. Who'd want to come. And so let's have a look at the goods that you've already got. It says, to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To one he gave. So your goods depends on the giver, right? It's a gift. It's a gift. And today I want the pressure to be released from you, because some people get their knickers in a twist when it comes to this idea of serving and doing something for God, and they think they've got to conjure up something, they've got to work up something, and they start to come under the pressure of having to create something. But we actually don't create the goods, because we have received the goods. So the pressure is off, and whether you know it or not, you've got the goods. Whether you feel like it or not, you've got the goods. On your best day and on your worst day, you've got the goods. When you feel like it, you don't feel like it, you got the goods. Because the goods depends on the giver. So you have been given something, some 5, some 2, to another 1, to each according to his or her own ability. To each according to your own ability. Now, I love this verse. Number 1. God is fair. He's fair. He's given to you. I mean, anyone know a 5-talent person? Someone who just seems to be abundantly blessed. They can do anything. My senior pastor is something like that. Pastor Phil Pringle, he seems to have the capacity to be able to do business, to understand finances, and yet he's an artist. He's creative. He has the ability to see detail, and yet he can see big picture and vision. He can write songs. He's a painter. He's like, how much gifting can one person carry? Like, I say I've got one gift of the gab. That's the gift I've got. But we are all given each according to our own ability. And so I love this verse because this is what it does. This verse eliminates excuses. Whatever you are called to do, God has equipped you for it. Whatever it is that God wants you to do in the area of service, of serving Him and serving others, is actually made possible because He's given you something. You've got the goods. What do your goods look like? What do your goods look like? This is the thing about the goods. You might be asking yourself, well, what gifts do I have? What? This is the thing with your gifts. Usually it's the very thing you take for granted because it comes so naturally to you. So naturally to you, you think and assume everybody else can do it, and you don't see it actually as being a gift, particularly those of you who've got perhaps a gift of helps, practical stuff. Your light is switched on by just doing stuff, practical stuff, solving problems. And you think everybody knows how to do that. Well, can't everyone do that? No. And those of us who try to get exhausted in the process. It's the thing, you know, you mentioned earlier this morning, Pastor Andrew, about hospitality. Gifts of hospitality, it's really interesting. And I found that that gift actually isn't based on the ability to cook. Because some of the people we hang with, we've learned to attach ourselves to people with a gift of hospitality. But it's not about getting a free meal, because some of those people, we actually bring food because I can cook. But we don't have a gift of hospitality. I find that whole thing so stressful. And the more people who come, the more stressful it is. And I'm worrying about it all week because I want everyone to have a good time. And yet people with hospitality, it's like you lob in, short noticed, even under, and we can bring the food, but they have the ability to create a relaxed environment and people just get on this conversation. And so I'm praying that the Lord will reveal. I release right now a spirit of revelation that you will see the goods that you've got. What is it that people say you're good at? People say, oh, you're so good at that. That's a key. Sometimes it can be the very area that you have actually been under attack in. From a small, let me illustrate. From the time I was this high, I was always getting criticized for being too loud. Just so loud. Oh, she's so loud. In my school reports, either that she's noisy, she's talkative, I'm loud. Like, people always would go off at me about being on, before you could actually adjust the volume, people were always going, oh, gosh, you're so loud on the phone. She's so loud. And I got quite a complex. And even more so when I gave my heart to Jesus and started going to a youth group, because all the girls seemed to be quieter. That all of them had been grown up in church. I was the only one who'd come in from the outside. And most of them, they just seemed to me, they were quiet, they were sweet, they were really lovely. And I tried to conform to that. But man, I was miserable. I just couldn't help myself. It wasn't until I was in my early 30s that I received a prophetic word from someone, and he quoted actually from a scripture in Jeremiah. It was in Jeremiah 23. My word is a fire and a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. And I've called you, says the Lord, to be my hammer. I've called you to be my jackhammer, to make a loud noise and break through hard places. And I realized that the goods God had given me, the goods of communication, the goods of the prophetic, the goods of preaching had actually been under attack from the time my destiny was under assault. I feel like I'm saying this to someone specific today, because your goods might actually be the very thing that people have been and the enemy has been pushing back and attacking. And so something, there's food for thought there. I'll tell you what, being someone who has travelled in the ministry, my volume has been very useful. Thank you very much. People actually pay for me to fly from one end of the world to the other to be loud. Praise the Lord. Amen. I mean, I could do a whole different whole study on that alone, identifying the goods that you've got. But I want you to be conscious today. I'm often just in a place to sound an alarm, just to raise awareness. It's good to see you here. It's Jono, right? Did I know you at Sheffield? Your face was familiar. It's your missus. It's Nick. That's right. Goods. You're on the right track. You're on track. God's got you on a track. And it's like we have things in Australia called goods trains. I don't know if you have that expression in England, a goods train, you know what I mean? And I'm just seeing you as a couple, as a goods train. It's not just about your goods, but it's about the goods in others. I'm seeing a train of others and the wealth of gifting and of this just I'm just seeing you moving forward is moving others forward. You on your track, you're releasing others on their track. And so I feel God just wants to encourage you both. You got the goods to release others in their goods in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, do you know that couple? Yeah? Give them a hand. Show them some love. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." So you got the power. You got the power. Oh, I don't feel like it. Irrelevant. You've got the power because the word of God says you got the power. Oh, but Vicky, you don't know me. You don't know what I've been through. Irrelevant. I'm sorry. Your goods is actually not dependent on you and what you've been through. And what, in actual fact, the very things that you think disqualify you actually qualify you. Because the Apostle Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 3:4-6, "And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God." Let's just start with this statement. The Apostle Paul, arguably one of the most sufficient ministers ever to have walked the face of the earth. I mean, honestly, talk about a world changer. The Apostle Paul, he would go into nations as a pioneer and he would establish the church in places where it did not exist. I mean, he wrote most of the New Testament. I mean, I would say the greatest missionary the world has ever known. Some would say the greatest theologian the world has ever known. I mean, the Apostle Paul, you wouldn't think that he would have any issue with insufficiency. But he actually makes this statement. We have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves. So the Apostle Paul had a revelation, firstly, of his insufficiency. Okay, so today, if you feel inadequate, you feel like, I can't do this, I don't know what I could do for God, how could God use me? I'm not confident enough, I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not pretty enough. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough. Join the club. None of us are enough. Not one of us, not even the Apostle Paul. And in actual fact, that revelation that you have of your insufficiency is actually where we all need to start. It's actually essential. You've got to have that. You've got to have that in order to step into the next revelation is, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. I'm just seeing ministers, 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 ministers. Oh, all through this ministry. You know, I had this funny picture when I was just in between the two services. And this picture was this. I saw chairs on fire. Chairs on fire. And I saw some of you and where previously you've been comfortable to sit. It's like, oh, I can't. It's like this fire been set on fire that's going to cause you to move, that's going to cause you to shift, that's going to cause you to rise up. Rise up to be a minister. Don't feel like a minister. Join the club. Join the club. It's not based on feelings. It's based on the word. And the word says he has made us sufficient. Yes. Sufficient. Not just half cooked, half baked, just enough. No, sufficient. Everything that you need to do what God has called you to do, to be a blessing wherever you are, wherever the rubber of your life hits the road, we are sufficient as ministers. And so we got the power, we got the treasure. Let me go back to chapter 4, verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Earthen vessels. I love that. Because I'm pretty earthy. Sometimes people think you're called to this, you know, you're the fourth part of the Trinity. Clearly not in my case. You know, we've got imperfections. We've got our issues. The older I get, the more issues I seem to have. I thought, yeah, just when I thought I've sorted something out, something else comes up. And so can I exhort you all? Can I encourage you? Can I sound this from a loud trumpet? Please do not wait until you feel like you got all your stuff together. Please do not wait until you feel like, well, now I'm healed of all my hurts. Because as soon as you're healed of your hurts, someone comes along, kicks you in the guts, you hurt again. It's called life. Called life. Please don't wait until you feel confident, feel ready. This is what I've discovered in life. When you think you're ready, you're not. When you don't think you're ready, you are. But it's activating something by faith. Like, you've got the goods. And as we see, you step out in faith to mobilize what you've already got. Powerful things happen. And so now it's time to do something. It's time to do something. Verse 16, he'd received the five talents, went and traded with them and made another five talents. Likewise, he who'd received two gained two more also. So the one who had five went and traded. It's something to be done. Something to be done. Goods aren't just to be admired. Goods aren't just to be appreciated. You have to trade. Who knows that in the realm of trading, in the realm of like financial trading, it requires risk. Yeah, it requires risk. Yes, it takes a risk to use the goods. It takes a risk. Even with my gift, prophetic gift, people think I get up here and like I can hear an audible voice from God. And that I'm 100% confident. You know, the whole time I minister, there's a little voice that goes on saying, you've missed it. You're stupid. That's not right. That's not. Constantly. It's never gone away. I've been prophesying nearly 40 years. Never gone away. But I've just learned that that's not the indicator of the goods that I've got. That's meant to be a distraction. Yeah. So I just continue to do what I've got because I've got the goods. I've been told I've got the goods. I've got evidence that I've got the goods. I can feel that. Okay, the goods aren't the thing that you don't want to do. It's the thing that you do want to do. Generally. And sometimes there are those of you called to something, you think, oh, but I don't want to do it. But why you don't want to do it is because of usually a fear. A fear of failure. A fear of not being good enough. A fear of messing up. And so some people would say, oh, God got me to do the very thing I didn't want to do. Like a reluctant preacher. Usually two groups of people fall in the preaching category. Those like me who wanted to preach and God said, whoa, we just take a little bit of time on this and develop your character and your maturity. And then you've got those who didn't want to. And it's the last thing they wanted to do and God called them. We all have a different journey, but I can guarantee you, you're never going to feel totally complete. You're never going to feel totally satisfied. You're never going to be as fruitful as you could be until you use the goods that you got. And so you've got to trade. You've got to trade. And so that requires risk. So let me see. I'm seeing a couple. You look like an African couple to me. You're right down the yellow top, sweetie. Am I correct? Yeah? What are your names? Carol? And Asbel. Are you visiting? Do people know you? Do you know this couple? Yeah? Come down the front. I'm going to use you. Is that okay? Can I use you as, what do you call it? I was going to say crash test dummy. That's a bit rough. The guinea pigs. Okay. Come. Not to embarrass you. I'm going to demonstrate. Can I use you as an example? The reason why I picked you out is that I don't think I've prophesied over you before. No. Have I met you before? No. Lovely to meet you. So it was Carol. And Aspel. Okay. Now, the reason why I picked them out is because, number one, they just sort of like highlighted to me. I'd seen you earlier, but then they just sort of highlighted to me. And number two, I was pretty sure I hadn't prophesied over you before, so I have no preconception. We don't know each other. And just so you know, I haven't called them out because I already have a prophecy, because I have a word. I don't. But I know this. I've got the goods, right? I've got my goods among, you know, I've got a couple of goods, but they all generally come out of the, you know, gift of communication. And so I'm going to pray for this couple right now. I'm going to pray. Now, I could say in my head, before I even start, oh, they don't need this. What's the point? Pray for this couple. They don't need me to pray for them, right? I could already, before I even start, I could totally abort the possibility of this couple receiving a blessing because I say, oh, they don't need it. Or I could even go down the track of, well, I don't have anything. I don't want to end up with egg on my face. You know, I don't want to look stupid. I could go down all sorts of different tracks. I could say, you know, they obviously don't like being standing up in front of people. Like, it's not something they're comfortable with. And so I won't do this, but I'm going to do it anyway because I'm feeling to. You know, we can all have all sorts of reasons why we don't use the goods. Yeah. Oh, what if I get it wrong? Or what if I get it right? What if nothing happens? What if it does? You never know if you never go. This applies to anything, guys, absolutely anything. Those of you might have gift of healing, you know, use the goods to pray for someone to be healed. What if they don't get healed? What if they do? You never know if you never go. Anything. You know, what if I feel to go and talk to that person? Well, what if they don't talk back? Well, you've got to take a risk. Trading requires a risk. I learned very early on that I'd much rather make a mistake in faith than hold back in fear. Yeah. And so I'm going to pray. I'll pray for them so they don't have to stand much longer. I have no preconceptions. Still don't have any word for them. Nothing. I'm being dead honest with you. Absolutely nothing. Carol and Asbeth. Asbel. Father, right now for this couple, I'm going to get you to hold your hands. Is that okay? Here we go. There you go. Father God, I thank you for this couple right now. I still don't have anything. But I'm going to act like I do because God says I've got goods. Yeah, and they don't come and go. They're there all the time, on a good day, on a bad day, when I feel confident, when I don't, when I feel well, when I feel sick. You see, now I get a word, right? Just one word. I just got one word. Now, at that point, I could say, well, Lord, I want more than one word before I open my mouth. Give me a bit more than one word. And the word sounds a bit general, actually. So I could start to rationalize and I don't say nothing. But you see, the principle with the talents is that you increase as you use them. Not as you talk about it. Yeah, not as you think about it. God fills your mouth as you open it. So I'm opening my mouth and the word I got was change. So I got this word change. Now, whenever you get the word change as a prophet, you start to get a bit anxious. You know, it's kind of a loaded word, right? And so I'm just trusting God with this word. So I speak that out expecting more. Because it's like, what sort of change? What kind of change? It could mean anything. So I speak out that word change. I still don't have anything else, but I'm just going to start continue to pray. And then I've got another word, rearrange. So I've got two words, change and rearrange. Well, now what's God talking about? Their furniture? I don't know. Change and rearrange. But I'm just stepping in faith, being faithful with the little. So now I'm just going to, you get the idea, I'm just going to pray for this couple. I'm just going to get on with it. But Father, I thank you for this couple. I thank you, Lord. You are changing and rearranging the landscape of their life. Now, I didn't know that until I just started praying. Just popped into my head. Which incidentally, some of you kind of don't even know where God speaks, you know. You kind of think, oh, is that me? Is that God? If it's smarter than what you could come up with, it's probably God. Change and rearrange. So, okay, I'm seeing the landscape of your life, the landscape. So your life at the moment looks one way. And to be honest, I'm seeing a tree there. I'm seeing a little tree and I'm seeing another little tree, a little house where you lived. But it's pretty barren, to be honest. Like there's a lot of room, a lot of space. But you know what? I'm suddenly seeing this space being filled in. I'm seeing more trees, more trees. I'm seeing this. I'm seeing a new car. I'm seeing activity. And I just believe the Lord is saying that just because your life has looked one way, even for a long time, doesn't mean it's not going to become another way. It's not going to look another way. And this other way, I'm seeing where you've been in a bit of a drought, but now I'm seeing like springtime. I'm seeing things growing. I'm seeing, you've tried Espel. You've tried and tried and tried. I'm seeing you working hard, but it hasn't produced the results that you've been dreaming for. That you know, you've sown and you've done things. And you've expected certain results, certain outcome, and it hasn't worked. So you get disappointed, you get discouraged. And Father, right now, I thank you for healing my brother from disappointment and discouragement. And I thank you, Lord, for the new day, for the change. Father, if you rearrange some things, Father, and I see even on the inside, there's going to be change. Even in your lives, I see you learning new things. I see you thinking new things. I'm seeing God doing something incredible to heal you both, to bring great healing into your hearts. Father God, I thank you for this couple, that prosperity, Father, is for your children. I thank you, God, in Jesus' name, for great comfort, great encouragement by your Spirit. And I hear the Lord saying, do not fear, all will be well. Carol, all will be well. I hear the Lord saying, he's not giving you a spirit of fear. It's going to be okay. I break every lie of the enemy that has said to the contrary. Any bad reports where they've told you can't, you won't, it can't happen. I thank you, Father, for miracles. You're going to move in miracles, my brother. Miracles. Miracles. They can even say, whoa, you need a miracle. Get Aspel to pray for you. Get Aspel to talk to you. Father, I thank you for the change in landscape in Jesus' name. Bless them, Lord. Bless them right now, I pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. You know what? I feel more than anything else, God wanted to call you out that you would know that he sees you. Yeah, he sees you. Even when you feel like you've been bypassed, overlooked, like God says, no, you are right in my sights. It's like what we heard the pastor say about he watches the game, but he's actually watching his daughter. God's eye is on you and he is working some of this stuff out for you. The things that have been hard, it's going to become easier in Jesus' name. Now, I'm going to ask him a quick question. So did any of that mean anything? Was that a blessing? Any good news there? You don't have to make the prophet look good, but just. But if there was anything you thought, yeah, that blessed me.
Everything.
Oh, everything. Oh, bless you, sweetie. That's great. Okay. They're smiling. That's a good sign. Now, I did that as an example. Okay, if I had been moved by my feelings, they wouldn't have got that blessing. I would have ripped someone off. Who are you ripping off? I didn't say that in the earlier service, did I? I'm getting a bit hardcore now. Can the worship team return, please? So our goods come gift-wrapped in different personalities. Different personalities, different giftings. Yeah, don't compare yourself one to another. Sometimes we get unity and uniformity mixed up. We're never meant to be the same. The glory of God is realized and demonstrated through the individuality of believers. Your uniqueness. I love the fact that I'm loud. I tell you what, I hated it for so long. I felt cursed. Honestly, dear, I thought, God. I thought, man... If I had these qualities, and if I was a bloke instead of a girl, I think that I'd been seen differently. That's how I used to feel. But now I realise I'm God's jackhammer. I love that, the jackhammer. Verse 21, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. We're talking about the reward now. The reward of using your goods. Because there actually is something in it for you. Yes, people are blessed. People will be introduced to the reality of Jesus through your goods. But there is something in it for you. It says you are faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Few, many. Few, many. It's called increase. Increase. There's increase that comes as you use what you've already got. I'm seeing it. You couple, you two on there. They're good. We'll say pretty close. Otherwise, I should know. You've been around for a while. I should know your name. Sorry. What's Ben? Ben and Sam. Increase is coming. Increase is coming. Because you've been faithful to use your goods. You're faithful to do what's in your hand to do. But the vision is beyond. I'm seeing a vision and a desire that extends beyond what you're currently doing. Beyond your current measure. And God says, because you've been faithful with the little, He is going to give you more. Ruler over more. I see new levels of leadership. Rulers over more. I see that call of leadership, but leadership not as you know it. I see you don't. Sometimes we've got some funny ideas about leadership and what a leader looks like in the church. Sometimes we've taken on some what I would say are more worldly ideas. Jesus was very big. He said to his people, when you lead, don't lord it over people. You know, don't be like the Pharisees who lord it over people. And I'm seeing a compassionate leadership in you too. Ben, there's something very gentle about you. I'm reminded how David said of the Lord, your gentleness has made me great. Of God himself. And I'm seeing a gentle, kind-hearted leader. Sam, I'm seeing the prophetic, the Holy Ghost, realm of the Spirit. And I'm seeing you becoming secure in who you are. I'm seeing the struggle ceasing. I'm seeing a revelation on the inside of who you are, but who you're not. Jesus knew who he was, but I knew who he wasn't. I see you coming to peace, coming to terms with some of those things. This is who I am. But as you lead into who you are, and I'm seeing you growing and developing and maturing, and I'm just seeing you blossoming. This season is going to be, people look at you and they think they know who you are. But there's aspects to you that are currently hidden. And I see them emerging and being visible in Jesus' name. Significant, significant things ahead for you guys in Jesus' name. Ruler over few, ruler faithful in few, ruler over many. Increase, increase. I love the fact that this promise was for the guy with the one talent, the guy with the two, the guy with the five. Didn't matter how many talents you got, it's the same reward. We all know the guy with the one didn't actually do anything with his talents, but I didn't want to focus on him. I wanted to focus on the ones who did something. So it doesn't matter what you do. There's a guy with a beard and got your sunnies on your head down the back. What's your name, mate? Another Sam. It's a day for Sams. Sam, faithful with the few, ruler over many. And there is an increase. There is increase. Increase that God has got reserved for you. But I've got the sense that it's held up. It's held up. It's in waiting. It's anticipating some action on your part. There's a step of faith. There's something God is calling you to, and it's going to start to shout. You've had a niggling, a thought. You know, there's the God whisper. I'm a big believer in the God shout. God knows how to shout if he has to. And you haven't been sure, but you're going to be sure. And it's as you start to act, you've got more than you realize. Yeah, you've got the goods. You've got the goods, Sam. And I'm seeing as you're faithful with the little, God is going to give you more. Influence, capital I. Even out in the marketplace. Influence, capital I. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Have a go. You never know if you never go. Few, many. Few, many. But here's one more promise. Enter into the joy of your Lord. You're faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Enter into the joy. Enter into the joy. The reward of serving, of using the gifts that God has given you is joy. Hey, you're never going to feel that satisfaction. There's nothing like it. I'm going to be going to hell and back. And when I get into the spirit zone, which is my God place, I tell you what, I'm oblivious to all that stuff that's going on in my life. Anyone know what I'm talking about? You know, I can be sick, and I'm sure a lot of the preachers can actually relate to this. You're sick as a dog. You're aching every part of your body, and you get up, and it's just like the grace comes. And for that time, you feel well. You feel strong. It's just like you feel joy. Joy is something to be experienced. Not pie in the sky when you die. Joy now. And joy comes when you use the good. If some of you are feeling deficient in joy, maybe you're not actually using the goods that you've got. Maybe that, just maybe. It's not the solution for everyone. Don't get me wrong, but I'm posing the question. Enter into the joy. Enter into the joy. Not enter into the frustration, the fear and the fruitlessness. Not enter into the pressure. Oh, it's so hard serving God. Oh gosh, it's so scary. No, it's joyful. Joy. Supernatural joy. I actually saw you upstairs. I think that's you, sweetheart, on the end of the row. Yeah, blonde hair. What's your name, darling? Michelle? Cheryl. Cheryl, enter into the joy. Enter into the joy. There's a pathway. It's going to take you to joy. It's this pathway of using the goods. And I actually see you being nervous. You're like, I can't do that. There's an opportunity coming. You can think it's too big. I can't. Yes, you can. I break every word spoken over you that said that you couldn't, that you could. I see even as a little girl. Shh, just stay down there. Just be quiet. But I'm seeing God raising you up and releasing something powerful through you. You will run and not grow weary. You will walk and not faint. I speak vitality into you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You're going to use the goods? I don't know you all here today. I'm not going to assume, because you're sitting in church on a Sunday morning, that you have a relationship with God, that you actually are a Christian, that you've known what it is to open up your heart, admit your need for God, to recognize that you can't do this alone. I don't know if you've all done that, that you know Jesus, not just know about him, but that you know him, you're walking with him. Or maybe you say, yeah, Vicky, I know what you're talking about. I've done that. But if you'd be honest with yourself, you're not living like it anymore. You've grown distant. God is now from a distance. You're not as on fire as you used to be. Stuff happens. Stuff happens in our life, and it can actually erode our faith in God. And some of you today need to come back. A fresh commitment, a fresh surrendering. I'd love you all to close your eyes. Not as a religious tradition, but I want you just to consider your spiritual condition. What a great time here, still basically at the outset of 2020, yet to reposition yourself in God, to say, I'm coming back. Yeah, I've kept you at a distance. You're not in the driver's seat anymore, Jesus. I've got you in the back seat. I'll put you in the boot. I don't want you to interfere. Like, happy to turn up to church. Or maybe for some of you, even that experience has got a bit dead. But it's not because of church. It's not what's happening in the building. It's what's happening in you. And so simply, I want to lead you in a prayer right where you are today, reconnecting you to Jesus or introducing you to him. So whether it's for the first time or another time, if that's you today, you say, yeah, Vicky, I need to make a decision today. I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior, have a relationship with God. Or yes, I need to come back. I simply want you to shoot your hand up, give me a wave. Vicky, that's me. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer in just a moment. So I'm just looking right now, just very quickly. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Someone down the back. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. It's great. Anybody else? Very quickly. What a great opportunity. God bless you, mate. That's fantastic. I still feel like there could be somebody else. So I'll just linger a little longer, because I know God's speaking to people. He's knocking on the door of your heart. You know God's talking to you. Just shoot your hand up. Say, Vicky, it's me. I want to receive Jesus. I want to come back to Him, or I want to receive Him for the first time. Anybody else? Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Those of you who raised your hand, can you just raise it one more time just so I know who we're praying for? Oh, yeah, gentleman there, over there. Thank you, Jesus, over there on your buddy. Thank you, Lord. So this is what we're going to do. Those of you who raised your hand, I'd love you to pray this prayer after me. But the rest of us, oh, sweetie down the front there, we're going to pray this prayer with you. Is that right? Is that right? Yeah, we're going to pray this prayer together with those who raised their hands. So there was a few over there. There was a gentleman over here. So church, let's pray together right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that he died for me to give me life. And right now, I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. I'm sorry I've ignored you and lived life my own way, but today I choose your way. I thank you that you love me and you have great plans for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Great decision. Thank you, Lord. You know what? One of the goods is evangelism. That's why some of you are actually a part of your... Now, we're all called to be witnesses, but there are some people who their special gift is evangelism. Like soul winning comes naturally. And there is nothing greater than actually sharing about Jesus to someone. Give me a wave that you identify with that. You say, yeah, that's the thing that flicks my switch. Can I encourage you? Lean into that. Really lean into that. Because I really can see a surge of evangelism here at C3BD. I prophesy the release, and I prophesy the emergence of evangelists. I prophesy the emergence of next-gen evangelists. I thank you, Father God, because as they are released, what happens is the water table of soul winning starts to rise in the house. I thank you, Father, right now. I'd love you all to stand.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.